Gora
Pasyan
Atma Vrindai Gora Pasyan Atma Vrindai Shri Lakshmi Vijayotsavam Gaurapasan Atma Vrindai Shri Lakshmi Vijayotsavam Gaurapasan Atma Vrindai Shri Lakshmi Vijayotsavam Shutva Gopil Raso Losam Krishna Premnana Artasa. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, Chapter 14, The Pastimes of Vrindavan After the Ratha Yatra. Right? For 9 days, 10 days, Krishna stays in Gundicha, which is Vrindavan Dham. You know, from the main temple, they go down to the Gundicha temple and stay there for 10 days. And then Krishna, he's gone to Vrindavan. He tells the goddess of fortune, "I have a little bit of a cold here. I think I'll have a little fresh air," like that. He says, "Okay, but come back tomorrow." So after four days, he doesn't come back. She becomes more and more upset. I know where he is. You know. So she goes to Vrindavan on the fifth day after the new moon with all of her soldiers and her servants and fully decorated, and she attacks her husband and demands he come back. And they said, "Okay, I'll come back. You know. So we came to that point where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar, everybody were observing this festival with the goddess of fortune coming on a golden palanquin from the main temple. Ah, wow, it's incredible. It's American, right? Red, white, and blue. Do, 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 do. Right? Yeah? Wow. And so then, So they're discussing these different kinds of mellows and humors in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya asked Swarup Damodar, "Please describe the pride of the gopis." And he's saying, it's a many-branched river. Different kinds of lovers. Some are very, very tolerant when they are neglected, and some become very angry and furious, and some are furious and angry, and some are angry, angry, furious. And he goes through all these subdivisions. You know. Then it goes on and says, "Gopikara preme nahi rasa bhasa dosh ataiva krishnera kare parama santosh." There is no flaw of adulteration in the love of the gopis. Therefore they give Krishna the highest pleasure. Rasabhas occurs when one's relationship with Krishna is adulterated. There are different types of rasabhas, first, second, and third class. The word rasa means mellow, and abhas means a shadow. If one tastes one kind of mellow and something extra is imposed, that is called uparas. Like, for example, Do your associates here like ice cream? No, they don't like ice cream. Okay. How about popcorn? Okay. They're both nice, but if you have ice cream and popcorn, it's not bad. You know, it's like, you know, broccoli strawberry ice cream. There's a nice one. Oh, no. But peppermint vanilla ice cream. Oh, okay. So there's whole thing of mixing these things. So the broccoli strawberry ice cream is rasa, I think we're saying rasa bibatsa, which is just doesn't work. But rasa bas means like it's a little weak, like ice cream and popcorn. It's, you know, they're good, but not together exactly. You know, so Vajrayana is saying that, or Swarup Damodar, I was talking here, and the gopis' mellows and feelings and sentiments are all totally pure and proper mixtures. Yeah. If one tastes one kind of mellow and something extra is imposed, that is uparas. If something is derived from the original mellow, it is called anuras. If something is appreciated that is far removed from the original mellow, it is called uparas. So these are all described in, actually it says right here, aparas, anuras, aparas are respectively first, second, and third class rasabhas, as stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And who's the author of that? Okay, here's the... Last night we were discussing, right? Here's the summary right there at hand. You know? Upadeshamrita. And the complete science is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And this is text number 49. So what does that mean, 4-9? What does the 4 mean? Is it possible to have 5-9? No? Actually, it's impossible. This is not correct. This has to be 3 digits. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Western part, southern part, eastern part, southern part, western part, northern part. So it means it's in the fourth part, which is a description of mixture of premas. And ninth means it's in the ninth wave. Are there 9 waves? Yeah, there are. Yeah. But it doesn't give another, it has to be a text number. So we found an error here in the book. Yeah, because we're smarter than that. Yeah. It has to be like 4, 9, you know, 122 or something like that, you know. Because every part is divided into waves. So there's 5 waves in the first part, and the ninth one has like, fourth part has a lot of waves, because it's discussing the secondary mellows. Yeah, there's 5 primary rasas, about being Krishna's father and mother, being Krishna's friend, being Krishna's servant, like that. But those can be combined then with secondary rasas. You know. One time, Mother Malti describes a story. They were in London, and the beautiful Radha Krishna deities, like that. And George Harrison had the royal you know, floor designer pick marble for the temple himself, and so it was beautiful marble in the temple. And somebody from the Lord Mayor's office was there, or the mayor himself, and Prabhupada was talking, and the program was going on. And they had, the curtain was like this, you know, the altar. And Shama Sundar had built this beautiful altar with these big columns and stuff like that. And then Malti says they were on the altar dressing Radha London Ishwar, like that. And it was getting late because they could tell Prabhupada was coming to the end of his lecture, and they really were rushing to get everything done on time so the curtain could open. And then she said, this at that point, somebody stepped off the altar and hit one of these columns, and they realized that Shama Sundar was an artist, but he wasn't an architect. Because it looked really nice, but it wasn't stable, and it started to go back and forth, and it was going to fall right on top of the deities and crash them and everything else, you know. She said, at that point, everything went into slow motion, and Prabhupada came off of the asasan. He went over to the over to the altar. With his right hand, he just pushed the paraphernalia away from the step. He went up and took Radharani's hand, like this. With the other hand, he held up the column, like that. And she said it was the greatest show of chivalry, right, you know, she'd ever seen. So this is a secondary mellow. Virya? Like that. Yeah. Yeah, Vira, yeah. Vira Ras, chivalry. But it has to be, these secondary mellows have to be attached to a primary mellow. So it could have been the mood of servitorship, or if Prabhupada actually is an incarnation of Satyaki, which some people speculate, then it might have been more in the mood of a friendship or even fatherly affection. This is Krishna's girlfriend and like that. But you see, and you're going to see, okay, this is the mellow. And the secondary mellow is this, Madame, allow me to help you. Caballero. In Spanish, means, you know, English, you know, gentleman, like that. And then, everything kind of, went back to normal speed again, and everybody else reacted. And then it was 4 people to hold this column up that Prabhupada was holding up with one hand. Yeah. Yeah, and Prabhupada sat back down, and everything is okay, yeah, and so on like that, you know? So he's describing here that when these 12 different mellows, primary and secondary, are combined in an improper fashion, then you get, if it's combined in a violent fashion, it's bivatsa, and it just doesn't work, you know. But rasa-bas means, okay, it's combined together, but, you know, like that. Madhu Mangal, I told this story one time, somehow the Krishna was able to meet with the gopis, like that, you know, the girls, and they had this, you know, some of their friends, and the cowherd boys, and cowherd girls, and some excuse. They were off there in the having a kind of picnic. The gopis bought something to eat, and for their brothers and Krishna. And at one point they decided it was all just too hot, so they went in the water, and then Krishna hopped in the water with, you know, there, and he's chasing the gopis around and looking at them and everything else. And Madhu Mangal, this Brahmin boy, is looking at all this, and he sits down on the edge of the bank and starts chanting the Vishnu Sahasranam. Sahasra Sirsa, Sahasra Pat, Sahasraksha. The Supreme has thousands of eyes and thousands of hands. And what is he using them for? To chase a bunch of super girls around the water like that, you know? So this is rasa-bas, but it's being used properly in a broader perspective to create some kind of very funny situation like that. You know? So this is what makes up Vrindavan. It's all this one big, you know, live comedy routine, kind of like that, you know, one drama. Evam sasankangshu virajita nisha sasatyokamo nuratha balagana Shisheva Atmani Avaruda Sarataha Sarvah Sharat Kavya Kata Rasa Ashrayaha. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-26. What chapter is that? Sarath Lila, huh? 10:33-26. Lord Sri Krishna, who is the absolute truth, enjoyed his Ratha dance every night during the autumn season. He performed this dance in the moonlight and with full transcendental mellows. He used poetic words and surrounded himself with women who were very much attracted to him. Prabhupada's purport. This verse is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-26. The gopis are all transcendental spirit souls. One should never think that the gopis and Krishna have material bodies. Vrindavan Dham is also a spiritual abode, and there the days and nights, the trees, the flowers, the water, and everything else are spiritual. There's not even a trace of material contamination. Krishna, who is the supreme Brahman and Supersoul, is not at all interested in anything material. His activities with the gopis are all spiritual and take place within the spiritual world. They have nothing to do with the material world. Lord Krishna's lusty desires and all his dealings with the gopis are on the spiritual platform. One has to be transcendentally realized before even considering relishing the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. One who is on the mundane platform must fully purify himself by following the regular principles. Only then can he try to understand Krishna and the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Supdamodar Goswami are here talking about the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. Therefore, the subject matter is neither mundane nor erotic. Being a sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict in his dealing with women. Unless the gopis were on the spiritual platform, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have never even mentioned them to Supdamodar Goswami. Therefore, these descriptions do not at all pertain to material activities. Okay. Vama eka gopigani dakshina eka gan nanabhave kara e krishne rasa asvadan. The gopis can be divided into left wing and right wing. Both wings induce Krishna to taste transcendental mellows by various manifestations of ecstatic love. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the chief. She is a jewel mine of ecstatic love and the source of all purified transcendental conjugal mellows. Radharani is grown up, and her character is always equiposed. She is always deeply absorbed in ecstatic love, and always feeling in the mood of a left-winged gopi. Because she is a left-winged gopi, her womanly anger is always awakened. But Krishna derives transcendental bliss from her activities. Ahar eva gati premna swabhavet kutila bhavet. This is an Ujjvala Nilamani, Shringara Beda Prakana, 102 by Rupa Goswami. The progress of loving affairs between young couples is by nature crooked, like the movement of a snake. Because of this, two types of anger arise between young couples, anger with cause and anger without cause. Etasune bade prabhur ananda sagar. Kaha, kaha, kahi prabhu bale damadar. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard all these talks, his ocean of transcendental bliss increased. He therefore told Supdamodar Goswami, go on speaking. And then Supdamodar continued. So Supdamodar is an incarnation of who? Kumbhakarna? And probably say Lalita. She's Radharani's guru. She's older than Radharani. Radharani is like, you know, maybe 11 and Lalita's 12. So like, knows what's going on like that. Yeah. Srimati Radharani, so she knows these things. As I understand, I was describing that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, that one time in Goloka, Krishna's trying to understand, why is it that Radhika is so much attached to me? What is it about myself that attracts her, this and that? So he's trying to understand these things, and Lalita and Vishaka and everybody else take him to some little secluded place to discuss these things. And then they enter into these humors to try and manifest things, experience these things. So the time for the Yuga avatar comes, you know, and then Krishna decides, let me be the Yuga avatar, but in the mood of Vrindavan. And also let me try and experiment these things that we're trying to understand in terms of, you know, of understanding Radharani's position, like that. So, the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, in this humor of trying to appreciate these things like that. And everybody else there is trying to help him. And Lalita's trying to help him feel, understand what it's like from Radharani's point of view, like that. So go on talking. And he said, Adiruddha Mahabhava Radhika Prema. Radharani's love is a highly advanced ecstasy. All her dealings are completely pure and devoid of material tinge. Indeed, her dealings are 10 times purer than gold. 10 times purer than gold. Yeah, yeah. As soon as Radharani gets a chance to see Krishna, her bodily is suddenly decorated with various ecstatic ornaments. Now that we have, we're going on here now? Okay. So these are the Ashtasattvika Harshad Via Bicharyanra Sahaj Prema Vingshata Bhava Alankar. The transcendental ornaments of Srimati Radharani's body include the 8 sattvikas, or transcendental symptoms, the 33 Vyabhichari Bhavas, beginning with Harsha, or jubilation, in natural love, and the 20 Bhavas, or ecstatic emotional ornaments. Right? Yeah, I thought you were an advanced devotee. Like, one time I was with Jayananda, and one devotee was there in the temple, Bhakta Buford, like that, And he joined like about 3 months before, and I was going out and distributing books and doing really well and defeating people and leading kirtans and stuff like that, So Jayananda was in the big industrial garage next to the temple, and he said, Jayananda said, Bhakta Buford, I've been here 3 years, or 7 years, like that, or something like that, 3 years. And you've only been here 3 months, and you're already so much more advanced than I am. What's your secret? But the thing is, he meant it. It was like, Jayananda was like incarnation of humility, as humble as Prahlad Maharaj. Like that. So, you just see that. Just kind of maybe, I don't know if it was spontaneous or a little bit calculated. I always had a hard time figuring out with Jayananda which it was, But it definitely could have been spontaneous. It was very deep, So you've been Srivast, you've been a devotee for 3 years, and I've been here for 30 years, and you're already so much more advanced than I am. What is it? What's your secret? So immediately it was like this balloon being popped. It was like Bhakta Buford's false ego just went boom, like that. Because you could tell. Everybody except for Jayananda is an advanced devotee, like that. I have Satsput Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj both said, if there's anybody who's an eternal associate of Srila Prabhupada in this movement, it's got to be Jayananda. And even it's interesting too, because think about these things now. His disappearance, when do we celebrate his disappearance day? Huh? Well, right before Nisringa Chaturdasi. Yeah. And, some speculation that maybe he's an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj, like that. And so who's the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? Yeah? And he didn't want to stay around, right? To see Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. Like that. So also Jayananda left just before Prabhupada. Maybe also don't want to stay around to see this. Yeah. And also I got to go ahead. Yeah, make sure things are set up for Prabhupada when he gets to the next place he's going like that. Yeah, so on. So it's all this is happening. And somebody, I guess Kirtananda Maharaj is supposed to have asked Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, we hear that some people in this movement are coming from the spiritual world to help in different ways. Is that true? And he said, Prabhupada said, you'd be surprised if you knew who some of the people in this movement were. Like that. Joy. One time we were, it was Rathiyatra, I guess, it was a good time to discuss Jayananda also. And I was kind of advanced or something. Usually a Sunday feast, you start with very, very advanced topics. As you go on toward lecture, as you go towards the kirtan, you become more and more mundane because, people start coming in, it's the exact opposite. You get more and more down to I'm not the body, starting off with the rasas, backwards. So Jayananda. So he joined. He was, I think his grandfather was like a Presbyterian minister or something. So he kind of grew up in this kind of like Acharya family somewhere in the Midwest. And he was an engineer, really big guy, big hands. He was a mechanical engineer. And he was trying to, what is life all about? What is this going on here and stuff? So he came out to San Francisco because he heard this whole hippie movement was going on, and maybe there's something there, So he said he was trying to, you know, try different things a little bit, and he never got into drugs or anything. Then he got a job as a taxi driver and was hanging out there. And he said he didn't do it. He said the night before he met Prabhupada, he was even crying a little bit about what is life? It's so miserable, and what am I supposed to be doing? Then he heard about the Hare Krishna Snare Guru. It's okay, try that out. You know. Sounds pretty nice. So he went to the temple, and somebody said, "Oh yeah, you can see Swamiji. Come here." You know, went to Prabhupada's room. You know, "Hey Swamiji, somebody here." You know. Okay. You know. So he said, Jayananda said, the second he walked in the room, Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Bring prasadam." You know. So he came in and sat down there, and prasadam came. Prabhupada asked him a little bit, talking to him, and he said, "What are you doing now?" And he said, "Oh, I'm driving a taxi." He said, "Oh, you have a job?" I said, yeah. I said, "Well, amazing. You're an engineer." You know. And prasadam came. And then he said, "Well, do you have any questions about anything like that?" You know. And he said, "Well, yeah, what is the purpose of life?" You know, Swamiji. You know. And Prabhupada said, "The purpose of life is to be happy." I said, "Oh." Okay. You know. Then he said he explained the philosophy in a very nice, simple sense, and it made not a lot of sense to him, Christian background, everything else, just God, ourselves. So that was it. From that point, he was just, attached, you know. And he was engaged so many ways, so many different kinds of service. But then when Prabhupada wanted to do this Rath Yatra festival, then he took it like as a responsibility. And the first year, many people were involved. Like Narayan was kind of like this one very emotional artist in Los Angeles, you know, Narayan like that, you know. And so they were working together, and there was this whole program like that going on. But after that, kind of devolved down to Jayananda. Yeah. And I remember when I was there, I came to the temple. I was visiting the temple. I don't know what was going on exactly. I read Prabhupada's books for 1 year, so I kind of like a philosophical basis, you know. But the rituals and the practices and the activities, I didn't know what was going on. And some things were just amazing. The temple was just amazing. The temple room, I came in there, wow. You know, and then devotees chanting, live devotees chanting in kirtan. It was like, oh, yeah. And then the prasadam in the morning. Different little drop of sweet rice, like this big on the plate, and then it was like, you know, somebody would knock over their sweet rice or something, and they would just like, you know, lick it up off the floor like. It's prasadam, it's spiritual. And then there was like some part of a flower, some of the petals of flower on my plate, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to eat those or not, because I don't know, it's kind of a weird thing like that. So then coming and going. So I came in the temple one day, and it was noontime lunch, and I came in and sat down, and there was this guy next to me, and a big guy, and he had work clothes on, like, you know, they weren't dirty, but they were like, you know, work soiled from working and stuff before, stained. And he had a rope for his belt, right? Some rope tied up for a belt for his pants, like that. And I was sitting there, he said, "Hey, where are you from?" I said, "One of them, Sacramento." "Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, you have this festival going on. I'm not going to be able to get there, but there's some places you can put up some posters. Could you help me out like that?" I'm okay. You know. And so he gave me his really nice posters. I thought this shape on kind of nice textured paper, and really beautiful. And he'd also designed them and stuff like that. So he gave me the names of like these bookstores and New Age places there. And I went there and he said, "Oh, yeah, you know, put them up like that." So that was Jayananda's, activity. You know. There's a chair over here. That was Jayananda's activity. As soon as you got in his orbit, he would immediately engage you in devotional service. It was just impossible, really, almost impossible not to get involved in it. You had two choices, become a devotee or go away. Prabhupada was the same way. There was two choices, become a devotee or go away. Or at least become a demon. but opposed to Krishna. I mean, you had two choices, become Krishna conscious or go away. Either as a devotee or in the end as a demon, like that. You know. On like that. So one story I was thinking of was that we had the Mangalarti. Then Bhaktadas had this program, our president. Right after Mangalarti, we read the Krishna book a little bit. Then he passed out the Mangalarti suite right afterwards, after people came to Mangalarti and stuff. And so we were in the lobby, you know, taking a little prasadam like that. I think it was some sweet rice or something, you know, fell like on the floor. And usually whatever kind of like service there was, the temple was always locked because it was a kind of heavy area. So always the doorbell was ringing. And during prasadam, no one liked to get up and go open it. But Jayananda would always hop up, "Don't worry, I'll take care of this." "Oh, don't worry." You know. So any kind of like service people didn't want, he was like the first person to do it. You know. So I kind of dropped this he or I drop a little bit of prasadam on the floor like that. And then we were both going to kind of like pick it up, you know, like that. But it happened all very quickly. My mind reacted like, okay, I'm going to be more humble than Jayananda. You know, I'll get there first. You know? So we're both kind of going quickly like that. And then it became a little tense because there was this competition like that. You know? So then my mind reacted by becoming angry, like, why are you pushing me? Why are you making me do this? You know, like that. It was like, you know. And then Jayananda got there first and kind of cleaned it up. And he said, oh, you know, Hanuman, this is too degraded of a service for someone like you, or this kind of low-class service is for people like me, you know, something like that. You know? But under that pressure and everything else, we were very, you know, intense, like, connection. And I could see again that, as far as I could tell, he meant it. And it wasn't like he was just, you know, you'll be humble so people will think you're great, right? Oh, he's so great, he's so humble, you know, like that, you know? So, but it was like he actually meant that, you know? And it was like the floor opened up, and it was like maybe like a 500-foot drop down to hell or something like that, like a blazing fire, like it was like, you know. When I was, you know, seeing how deep his humility was, it was like this whole thing was like, you know, my God, you know, okay, never going to try and do that again. Try and be more humble than Jayananda. It's like, forget it, you know. Yeah. So other experiences, you know, with people like that, you know. And this is, you know, we get advanced. You know, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is describing the situation like that. And here is describing, yes, last night we were talking about, you know, nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami's summary of our whole culture and philosophy. And there's 11 verses, right? And we're working on the first few verses to try and get those down, control our senses, understand, and try to understand how to associate with devotees, right? It's problematic, right? Yeah, yeah. Here she comes now. Wow. How many dresses do you have? How many? Let me guess. 35? No, more than that. Yeah. 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 So, we're trying to go through the, you know, get a little advanced here. But Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is describing it all in detail. Because after a certain point, it's explaining, you know, when you get off the material platform, your senses are under control. Another experience. Prasadam is transcendental, right? Prasadam is not a part of this material world. You know? And I was wondering, well, how is that? You know, the pure devotee, you know, Acharya, his body is not a part of the material world. And I wasn't initiated. I wasn't living in the temple. I was just visiting some. So I got the opportunity to go to Los Angeles, living in Sacramento, San Francisco. And you know, Prabhupada was there. And I went to a morning class. He was lecturing. And it was maybe like, I don't know, maybe like, you know, 150, 175 devotees there at least. And I was maybe, you know, a little more distance than this from Prabhupada on the side. And at one, Prabhupada was just talking, like that, lecturing. And at one moment I could see, right? Tesham evanu kampartam hama agyana jam tamaha. The super soul is enlightening us, right? He makes us understand scripture. He makes us understand the holy names. So at some point I could see how Prabhupada was like a diamond in water. You got a stream bouncing down there. The water's moving in a beautiful diamond, rich. And you drop it in the water. Yeah, you can't see it, right? But you can feel it like that. It's totally different than the water. The absolute opposite, you know, like that. So I could see that Prabhupada was just, it was just like that. His body, the things under his control, like his paraphernalia, his clothing, the modes of nature came, went around, and kept on going. You know, when you or I, you know, scratch our noses, it's because we're being pushed, right? But Prabhupada would just do it to, like, you know, I've heard, if you watch the videos, you'll see many times when Prabhupada talks with a material scientist, he goes like this. Or something like that. Someone told me that. You watch. You know, I was talking to a material scientist, he'll go like that or something like that. You know? So it was, you know, you get like that sometimes. You can feel this. It's all, you're liberated. They asked Prabhupada, when you touch a doorknob, does it become spiritual? And he said, as long as I'm touching it. Yeah, yeah. And then some things he lets go, and Durga takes back over, and Paramatma takes over again, like that. But some things, like the spiritual master's shoes, his sitting place, his bed, these things are preserved as being spiritual by the Paramatma, like that, you know, certain things like that. The rest is kind of like if it's under his control or not, his influence, like that. You know? So I can see that. You know? So if we get off this material platform, you know, by doing Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations, getting up early, chanting Hare Krishna, following four principles, becoming good at it, taking prasadam, defeating our habits of intoxication, sexual agitation, you know, lying, cheating, football scores, chocolate, whatever. Okay, you know, now I can stay in pure goodness. Yeah. Then, okay, now what do I do? You know, it's like prison, right? That's everybody knows. It's not enough to have somebody get out of prison, do a service sentence. That's basically you sending somebody out is going to cause more crime. So the thing is, he's supposed to be in there to get reformed. When he comes out, he has his real life starts. You know? So you get out of prison, you're liberated. What do I do now? Yeah. And that's when real service begins. Now you can really start to actually serve Krishna like that. Yeah? You volunteer. So then it has come in that says that Radharani is a manifestation of all these things. Whenever she sees Krishna, as soon as Radharani gets a chance to see Krishna, her bodily is suddenly decorated with various ecstatic ornaments. It's very difficult for Radharani to see Krishna because who's trying to keep Radharani from seeing Krishna? No, Yeah, suegra in Spanish. Her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. Jatila and Kutila. Jatila and Kutila. So, they're trying to, because this guy, Krishna, is a famous whatever. Mujeriega in Spanish. Woman monger. But like that. And so, they want to make sure that Radharani doesn't get entangled with him. And so they're trying to find ways that they can meet. And so then they make this plan that Jatila's always wants to do sacrifices. Radharani to do sacrifices on behalf of her husband, because only a wife can do that. So they hear this when Brahmachari visiting Vrindavan. He's a very pure guy, very potent. You know, he can do sacrifices that people can't do. He's at Suryakund. So then Jatila says, okay, you go there, we'll go there, and you've got to come with me today and do sacrifices for Abhimanyu, my son-in-law, your husband. And so they figure out that it's actually Krishna, you know, the gopis like that. And then they make certain plans, and then go through this whole thing, and then she tells Vishakha, okay, when we're leaving, I want you to dawdle behind us a little bit like that on the pathway. Why? Don't worry, just do it. Okay. So they go there, and there's a brahmachari doing austerities, and Jatila comes and says, oh, you know, the Panditji, I've come with my daughter, and please, you know, engage her in a sacrifice for the welfare of my son-in-law. He says, oh, madame, I don't do these things. You know, I'm simply doing punya, penance and austerity to acquire credits like that. I don't engage in sacrifices for others. He said, no, please, you must do it. You must do it. And he says, well, maybe I can do it, maybe I can't. It depends on the karma of the person like that. So I have to see your daughter-in-law's hand. Like that, you know. So he takes Radharani's hand. And he's like, he says, oh, I don't know. It's a very complicated hand. Let me look at this here sometime. Like that way. You know? So, and she, what is she? She's manifesting different ecstatic symptoms and things like that. So this goes on for some time, and they get a chance to associate, and they're saying different things to each other. Which have different levels of meaning, like that. And finally, it's time to go. And they do the sacrifice, and she's leaving, and then Radharani turns and says, Vishakha. You know, why are you dawdling so much? Come on, like that. And she's, oh, okay. You know? But of course, when she looks back, you know, she's not looking at Vishakha at all. She's looking at Krishna like that. And one last chance to see him like that. You know? So whenever that's all she wants, then there's ecstatic symptoms coming like that. Asta sattvika harshada vyabhichari yanra. The transcendental ornaments of Srimati Radharani's body include the 8 sattvikas, or transcendental symptoms. And in Christian tradition, these are called... There's a name for it. The beatific states of consciousness, like that. Or beatitude is a little different. Beatific states of consciousness. And they describe the same things happening. The 8 sattvikas, the 33 vyabhichari bhavas, and the 20 bhavas. Okay. Now, Prabhupada's purport, if Prabhupada knows all these things. Okay. The 33 vyabhichari bhavas, bodily symptoms manifest in ecstatic love, are as follows. Like that. So this is all in nectar of devotion. Like that. Indifference, moroseness, meekness, feeling one that one is in a faulty position, fatigue, madness, garva, shanka, trasya, avega, unmada, apmashmara, disease, bewilderment, death, laziness, invalidity, shame, concealment, remembrance, vitarka, Let's test our Sanskrit scholar here. Okay. Vrida. Huh? Shame. Okay. Avahita. Concealment. Smriti? Okay. Vitarka. Okay. Chinta. Contemplation. Mati. Attention. But these are beyond. Okay. Dritti. Forbearance. Harsha. Outsukya. Eagerness. Anugriya. Augriya. Augriya. Violence. Amarsha. Anger. Yeah. I don't know who did these translations to, but probably did these like that. But these are the 33 Vyabhichari bhavas. Yeah. And again, it's a science. Prabhupada gave one lecture in Bombay. And he was discussing all these things like expansions and all these things, very technical lecture. It was a Pandal program, so there were gentlemen there, but also many ladies and children and old ladies and, all these technical terms. And Prabhupada says, the public address system is there, and there's also like a microphone going for recording. So Prabhupada finishes the whole thing and says, "So, do not think that this is only sentiment. It is a science. You must know all these things," like that. And he kind of leans back, and the public address system didn't pick it up, but the recording microphone did. He said, "So you must know all these things, but not right away." Yeah. Because as you go on, it becomes, you're beginning, you're doing a service, you're having certain feelings, you're maintaining your conscious where you're sleeping 2 hours a day, little naps like that, because you're in this, you get this energy for your soul, which is making you alive. And every person you deal with, the psychologist in the prison, every person you're dealing with, you can take them up so much by the energy that's coming in contact with you, And so, then you begin to experience, this is not quite right. Something's wrong in my relationship with this person, these feelings like that. And you realize, it's here. Yeah. So we're getting guidance from the super soul. We're getting guidance from the scriptures like that at that point. But otherwise, you can make big mistakes. He gives us, posts, milestones along the way like that. And we have to fill them in with the super soul and, association of devotees. But we're not going to go too far in the wrong. Or we made it that last V, we made a wrong turn. We got to go back here like that. Well, it's just a little bit back. Okay, we hit the milestone. We're headed towards Mathura, not towards Radhakund. It happens in the Brajmano Parikrama. The Brajmano Parikrama? No. For 300 people, and you're marching along, and all of a sudden everybody's coming back. We made a mistake. Go back. We'll go back. Like that. In Vrindavan. It's easy to get lost. It's easy to get lost in Vrindavan. Like that. So, any questions? I go on your right till 12:30. It's okay? Yes, sir. Hanji.
You mentioned that Prabhupada touching Dorna.
Yeah.
And that being transcendental or spiritual.
Yeah. Transcendental spiritual.
So I was thinking also about his lectures.
Yeah.
And we're getting the sound that's coming from an often in the chants.
Yeah.
So we're also experiencing that transcendental nature.
Yeah. Yeah. I mentioned this many times. Prabhupada was in San Francisco in 1975 for the Ratha Yatra. And when a reporter asked him, "Swamiji, what will happen to your movement after you die?" And Prabhupada said, "I will never die. I will live forever in my books." And I augment that with the story of Bhakti Bringa Maharaj, Ayodhyapati. He went into Delhi to have his visa renewed, which again, if you deal with India at all, it can be a process extending over hundreds and thousands of lifetimes trying to get your visa renewed. So first off, he found the building, the complex of buildings. It was something built by, the Mountbatten of Israel or something. It was like the viceroy of India had built half of it. It was just, and he found out where he was supposed to start. Now it's already 2 hours just to find out where the, He went in, there was one boy working at his desk, and the other people around, different desks, and pulling papers out, stamping them, and looking at things. You know, looked up, and there was Maharaj and Sannyas dress. This happened about 5 years ago. And he said, "Oh, well, what do you want?" He said, "Well, I'm a member of ISKCON. I want to renew my visa and stuff like that. I'm visiting a sannyasi." I said, "Well, okay, let me help you." You know, he says, "Okay, you got to take this form and go here, get this one signed there, get that done there, have your photograph stamped there, this and that." You know, and he's like, "Oh my God, it's ridiculous." You know, there's no map where the places are. And he says, "Let's go over there." You know, he said, "Okay, let me help you." So he locked his desk up. He took him around. They went up these back stairs. He said, "Watch out, there's no railing here. Come on this side of the stairs." It's like falling down. Three-story drop to the sidewalk on the old rickety, steel stairs. "Okay, it's okay, you can make it." Okay. And, he made people stop their work and take care of his stuff. And it took about 2 hours to finish everything off like that. So he came back to the boy's desk, and he's finishing off the paperwork. And he says, you're a member of ISKCON, right? A disciple of Srila Prabhupada, right?" He said, yes, like that. He said, 1 year ago I was suffering so much. What is life? Who am I? My family relations, everything. And he said, I got Bhagavad Gita. And he pulls out my Prabhupada, like that, And now everything has become so peaceful, so clear like that. And so I thought, you're one of Prabhupada's disciples. How can I not, try and pay back my debt to him? Do you think if I wrote to Srila Prabhupada, he would answer me? Right? It's 5 years ago. So it was such, strong emotional connection like that. "Do you have any news about my father or something like that?" And he said, "Oh." He said, "Well, Prabhupada left his body in 1977, And the guy just broke down like that. And people were just looking over what happened. Someone came in and told you, "Sorry, your daughter's died in an auto accident today." It's like, yeah. And it was just, he realized he had a totally, completely personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says that, It's all based really upon your service attitude. If you want to learn something from the books, you really want to learn something, something. I just can't make it down to be completely surrendered, but I'm willing to listen and try and apply it sincerely. Okay, And it's a personal experience. And of course, in so many ways, from devotees, you can see Prabhupada through them. You can see them, audio tapes. Audio tapes are wonderful. There's a prabhupadavani.org. That's all online there. And we have them on. I put 15 on my little portable MP3 player and listen to them for each 2 weeks, one a day. And you hear so many new things, little new things. Somebody asked Swamiji, can we develop whatever mellow we want to? He said, no, when you die, you go back to Vrindavan and reawaken your original mellow in service to Krishna. It's like, did we come from Vrindavan or is this like that? I got some other things too. I forgot what it is now, but some really kind of interesting things. He says that Krishna's basic constitutional position is father, but he adopts the position as a child like that. It's interesting. But more and more he's talking about general things, making jokes. It's 1968 when I was here now in Seattle, talking about this material world, so very nice. Especially because it's the very beginning too, and everyone's very simple. They don't have any kind of background, so he explains it in a very simple, personal fashion, not so technical. And of course, if you read the very, very last purports in the 10th canto, probably just before he was a Moggallila with Prabhupada in Bombay when they're building the temple there, and they were going to leave that day and go to Vrindavan. And he was, with Prabhupada 24 hours a day. So he was on the time, the very last time of the night like that. And he thought, maybe I should just chant so Prabhupada could hear the Maha Mantra. He started chanting and Prabhupada said, "Don't make noise." So he started chanting down softly like that. Because he could barely talk, almost no energy. Then Tamal Krishnamaras came in, was adjusting the things, packing and stuff. And then Prabhupada's hand went up like this. He was lying there and Moggallila didn't know what to do, and tomorrow Krishna kind of smiled at him and said, "Prabhupada wants you to massage his hand," like that. So he started massaging it. And he said it was just skin and bones, because he'd been fasting for months like that, just trying to get better in many ways, or else leave one or the other. And he said, but he couldn't, it was just his skin was so soft. He said it was just it was not something you could find in the material world like that. And he was kind of massaging Prabhupada's hand and looking at him. And he said, then something happened. And he said he just had no idea how long it lasted. But basically it was this experience that there's nothing that you can do ever that will ever make me not love you, like that. It was this intense feeling, like, you know, this, like that, you know. So he said, after that, of course, his whole life since then was like, he said he had some really tough times with the GBC and people like that. He always remembered that experience. Said, no, it was that behind all this is his unconditional love, you know, and I, you know, respect that. So then it was time to go. They checked the train schedules. That kind of famous story. And they, the train was supposed to leave like 10 o'clock. And they were going to leave like 9 o'clock. So Prabhupada could just get there and get on the train and have to wait. But Prabhupada wanted to go like 7 o'clock or something. He said, Prabhupada, you know, it's not until 9 o'clock and we're going to be there early and just sit in the car. It'll be very uncomfortable. Prabhupada said, no, no. You know, and Prabhupada, no. And I was okay. You know, we're going to go. You know? So they got in the thing and put Prabhupada's stuff in there. And they went to the train station. And Mogalila said he was in the car behind Prabhupada with the paraphernalia stuff. And they got there, and everybody's running around like a madman. What happened? They see the train schedule's changed today. Mm-hmm. And the train's leaving like 2 hours earlier. And he says, you know, get up, Prabhupada. And he sees Brahmananda going by with Prabhupada in a wheelchair. It's like, there. And then everybody's running down to the train, the captain of the train there. The conductor is screaming at him, begging him to slow the train down. He says, all right, you know, 2 minutes, you know, this is Shikabdi or something, you know. So they were tossing paraphernalia through the window as it was rolling like that. But, I mean, Prabhupada didn't have a phone or anything else like that. You know, there's many experiences like that. It's just, you know, even when Mataji, she left her body in Ireland. Her husband took sannyas, Balabhadra, like that. And many, many people asked him to write it down. And so he, a couple of years, so he wrote it down. And the same thing. She started passing out. Okay, you got brain cancer. We'll take the fluid out, but you'll get better. But don't worry, it's going to grow. We cannot operate. You know? So her family, all these things. So she was an accountant. And Yatra, her husband, was like one of the leaders and president. And it's a very nice devotee as part of the example. She wasn't a great sannyasi or a great sankirtan devotee. She was a nice, regular devotee. But as she was supposed to die within 9 months or something, but it went on for like a year and a half, I think. And she was supposed to take morphine to cut the pain down. But she said, all it does is make me dull. You know, it just makes me so dull I can't experience it. Let me just take what Krishna is giving one time straight through. And so all the doctors and nurses were just amazed, you know, she could do that. So then she started having these different mystical experiences, and she couldn't get out of her bed at a certain point. She's so, you know, bed. And so her husband came in and said, well, you know, she said, the deities are wearing green today. And right after, you know, Shringar, he came in like that. He said, no way she could have seen that. Nobody told her. He said, what, dark green or light green? She said, dark green. That's true. You know, for very different mystical things. Then one time he was out in the hallway talking to some of the Matajis about trying to convince them to do some service, you know. And she was inside and she yelled out, she said, Prabhu, you know, if they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. They're women. And so he kind of looked at them and they go like, like that. You know? So completely, you know, practical, just lucid about even more than ever about how people are, what things are. And then at one point they were walking back, she could barely walk. She would go out and sit next to the Shalagram Shilas on the altar and just chant in the morning after everything was kind of finished like that, and chanting lots of rounds. And they would do Manchitra Parikrama of Govardhan together. Because they'd done it, as husband and wife, they'd done it. So they would just go through and talk about places, remember things like that. And so she was just walking back to the room and she started crying. And he said, what's wrong? She said, I know who I am. You know, her swarup, you know. And so then he said, well, okay, you know. And she started crying again. What's wrong now? You know, she said, well, I don't want to be a sahajya. Think that. He said, don't worry. We'll just go on with the process if it becomes clearer. So then this realization she had when she was Manjari, a little girl, and her service was to help Mother Yashoda pack Krishna's lunch, like that, you know. And then she was describing people like that, things she was having. She says, Nanda Maharaj, she's very handsome, like that, but a little fat. Like that. A little chubby, like that. And it says that, you know, it says like that, you know. And then she's talking about Krishna, was like, well, he's too much, you don't talk about him. It's like, a little bit like that. He said, what do you do when you're not packing the lunch like that? She said, I play with my ball in the courtyard. What color is your ball? He said, guess what color my ball is? Red? No. Green, no. Blue, no. And she laughed. He said, you'll never guess. You know, it's multicolored. So all these things went on and on, and she just, an example of, yeah, we can achieve this. You know, she's kind of an example of, it's ordinary devotee, good devotee, and she achieved all these things. And, you know, Shiva Ram Maharaj is coming there, a big sannyasi, everything else. He said, after visiting her, he was God. He said, all these formal titles in ISKCON mean nothing. You know, they're nice, you use them, but in the end, it really is just internal development. You know? So some girls were helping her, and they're bathing her, and she couldn't move at all very much. And then she said, this is not even worth it anymore. You know, what do you mean, Mataji? My number has been called. Like, you know, number one, number two, number three. So my number's been called like that, you know. And so that's the day after that, they called Balabhadra and they said, God, she's leaving, come on up. And he ran up the room and she was black, you know, just like, you know, gray from lack of oxygen, just trying to breathe like that, you know. And so she breathing again, everyone's chanting at the top of her lungs. She's like, you know. So she grabs some breath and your color comes back a little bit like that. And he tells her, he says, God, this next time, just let go. Don't hang on. And she kind of nods. And again, it happens. She's choking, can't breathe. And then she just, you know, not like that. And then they had, almost a Christmas Day. So it's very difficult to get a coroner to come in and do the death certificate properly. But they got somebody and everything else, because the neighbors had heard about it and they were helping and everybody. So finally, they went down there. They went very quickly to the crematorium. The guy came from his house, you know, and stuff. And they said, Jairada Mata were their favorite things. So they were singing that. And that was it. You know. And he asked her, is anything I can do for you? You know, he said, no. Anything I can do for you, something. He said, take sannyas. Okay. So he took sannyas afterwards like that. You know. So it's a complete curriculum. You know, you got to understand. Don't get hung up and, you know, trying to get your service on time and do the offering on time and bathe the deities and bless them. And, you know, just get the, you know, the gross physical activities done, and otherwise I'll go to hell or something. Or, you know, and after a while, there's always, everything goes on. Your bodily problems, your social problems, your work problems, all goes on. But after a while, you just start to see, it's Krishna's arrangement, so he won't like this place, right? You know, I mean, prisoners become institutionalized in the prison, right? They like it. They got food. They got a regular thing. It's actually a pretty nice situation. But is there any kind of like consciousness to make sure they don't like it? Maybe not consciously, but in Krishna's prison, yeah, there is. There's always a little bit of a push. So this, yeah, it's never, you never can really like this prison. You know, right to the very end, Krishna will put a little sand on your sweet rice like that. Yeah. Yeah, so he'll make sure that. So yeah, that's why. Even to the very end, you'll experience a little bit of social problem, a little bit of physical problem. And it's, yeah, it's good. You know, Krishna's pushing. I get a little lazy, you know, spacing out here. Krishna sent this, just, and you can see it, yeah, just to wake me up. Yep, thank you. Everything is in proper place. This is a prison. Yeah, yeah. Not any, never can be happy here. Yeah. Right? Yeah. We're discussing with somebody, you, right? You know, Prabhupada says this body doesn't get diseases. This body is a disease, right? When you get rid of all the diseases, there's no body, right? So there's no such thing as nice relationship between man and woman in this world, right? Marriage is to experiment with this, right? Yeah. There's no such thing as a nice relationship between a man and a woman on a material platform, right? You know, when you get free from material problems in your marriage, there's no more marriage, right? Yeah. So what is it called? Material sexual attraction is not a problem. It is the only problem, right? And when you get free from that, there's no more material world, right, at that point. And then our gross material bodies are here, but we're relating just as devotees and doing devotional service together in some kind of perspective. And, you know, and if we're really transcendental in the right position, we even forget we have a bodily relation, you know? Like this, but after some time, it's like, where's my body? My body. Oh, I haven't eaten in 3 days. Oh, like that, you know. Oh, I'm dead. Oh, yeah. But that's what happens. You just, right now it's like this, but as we become more and more, you know, things, you see the spiritual world, what's happening, and after a while, it's just, you know, one part of your consciousness. Yeah. But okay, for service, then I have to, you know, be a Vyasadeva, I have to keep this bodily conception, you know, for service for, in this world like that. Okay, that's ecstatic. Krishna's here. Krishna wants me to think like this. Yeah, so I'll do it. Okay. Any questions? That's it. And we get a chance to see Krishna and sing and dance for him, an emotional love of God with our hair standing on end and tears coming from our eyes, rolling on the ground and laughter. Okay? You're going to lead us, right? Yeah. So Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Or I guess the Ram Mantra ki.
Yeah.
Jagannath Rath Yatra ki.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln ki.
Yeah.
What is this guy? This guy is like, he wants his green card really bad, right? What are you going to throw for that green card, right? Maikran ki jai. Maikran ki jai. Yeah. There you go.